Hi, and welcome to the Nat Decants podcast. I'm your wine-soaked host, Natalie McLean. When it comes to enjoying wine with food, the most knowledgeable people are often sommeliers. Their work in restaurants as wine ambassadors involves experimenting with new wines and flavor combinations daily. Several leading sommeliers share their insider tips with us in this podcast. But before we get to that, I wanted to thank all of those who sent suggestions for intro music for this podcast. I've been slacking on vacation lately, and I haven't had time to go through the responses carefully, but I hope to soon, and I thank you for your help. I'd also like to tell you about this week's delicious recipe for peppered pork tenderloin with simmered apple in port reduction. It comes from Tahir Salamat, executive chef at Onyx, one of my favorite restaurants in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'd pair this dish with the 2004 Pasquale Tosca Merlot from Mendoza, Argentina, from the August 22nd wine picks on the website. Tahir's recipe for chicken supreme stuffed with foie gras and truffles in a Morel cream sauce would go well with the 2005 Behringer Proprietor Napa Chardonnay from Napa Valley, California, also from the August 22 picks. And while we're on a Down East theme, I'd like to mention the Tickled Pink Cookbook, a project to raise funds for breast cancer research. I contributed my grandmother's amazing Scottish biscuit recipe in her memory, and I'd pair these biscuits, best savored with warm, melting butter, with a California Chardonnay, such as the one I just mentioned, or another one. But you could always have a cup of tea, which was Grammy's favorite tipple. Ironically, she was a teetotaler. There are lots of other great recipes in the book, including beef tenderloin with tarragon mushroom sauce, which I'd match with the 2006 Di Portoli Petite Sirah from Australia, and Brazilian beer chicken, which would go well with the 2005 Babbage Black Label Sauvignon Blanc. You can buy the Tickled Pink Cookbook for $25 from the publisher's website. You can also search for more recipes for hors d'oeuvres, appetizers, entrees, breads, and desserts on nataliemclean.com. And if you'd like to submit recipes to be featured in this podcast and in the newsletter with credits to you and your company, please send me an email at natdecants@nataliemclean.com. We have two wine words to mention this week. The first one is cloudy. A cloudy wine is dull and hazy visually because the particles haven't been removed during winemaking. This sediment, which is natural, can be removed by fining or decanting. The second word is cloying. This describes an overly sweet wine that lacks balancing acidity and is therefore unpleasant and not refreshing. This should not be confused with the false praise that some winery visitors lavish on the vintner in the hope of a free bottle or two. You can find more definitions in my wine glossary on the website. The question of the week is, what's the difference between Old World and New World? The Old World refers to European and Mediterranean countries, such as Greece, Spain, Portugal, Italy, France, Germany, Austria, and so on. These are countries that have been making wine for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, and as a result, they rely more on tradition than science, and they're usually bound by more winemaking laws. The New World encompasses every other region, such as California, Australia, New Zealand, Chile, Argentina, Canada, South Africa, New York, Oregon, Washington, among others. Although the styles and climates vary, New World wines are often fruitier than the earthy-tasting Old World wines, and more marketing savvy in their labels and promotions. Although I can't answer all of the emails I receive, several hundred a day, I try to answer as many as I can in the frequently asked wine questions section of my site. In my new book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over, I also tackle many of the aspects of wine from grape to glass. How wine is made, marketed, matched with food, consumed and cellared. And I do this through storytelling, taking my readers behind the scenes of the international wine world, visiting its most evocative places, and sharing adventures with its most colorful and hilarious personalities. As usual, if you'd like to find out more about upcoming wine events, wines to buy, and other newsy bits and gossip, that are part of my free newsletter, you can sign up for it at nataliemaclean.com. And now sit back, pour yourself a glass of something, and enjoy this week's story entitled Ask the Sommelier. Story of the week. First sommelier is Dan Lerner from Azafran in New York City. And the question I asked him is, why are Spanish wines increasing in popularity? Dan Lerner spent a year in Spain before joining Azafran, a Greenwich Village restaurant that specializes in Spanish cuisine and wine. Quote, Spanish wines have exploded onto the world market in the past 5 to 10 years, he observes. Winemakers' skills have improved, and they're using technology to their advantage. Many vintners are experimenting with blends and methods, and the result is more consistent and higher quality wine. Lerner also notes that Spanish wines are often cheaper than wines of comparable quality from other regions in Europe. Quote, you can buy good Spanish wines from $7 to $15 retail. The better ones cost $15 to $35. But French or Italian wines in the same categories start at $15 and go up to $40 for something palatable. Most of our customers, he says, are new to Spanish wines. They may be familiar with the Rioja region or the Tempranillo grape, but they're usually looking to try something different. Lerner often recommends a medium-bodied Rioja, a red wine that pairs well with most meat dishes. Two of his favorites are the 2002 Muga Reserva and the 2003 Pinamonte. For whites, he likes wines made from the Albariño and Verdejo grapes, such as Lucabola and Segrel, both from the 2005 vintage. They go well with seafood, shellfish, and chicken. One of his favorite Spanish wines is Cava, the Spanish version of Champagne. It's the only sparkling wine on the market that uses the same methods as does champagne, he notes. I love Cava with caviar or strawberries. I also like to drink it on its own. One of his favorites is the 2001 Marquis de Gilda Brut. Lerner returns to Spain at least twice a year now. Quote, I get inspired when I go there. New wines, new tapas, new ideas. Spain never stops to amaze me. The second sommelier is Anton Potvin from the Niagara Street Cafe in Toronto. And the question I asked him is, what question do diners ask you most frequently? And he says, I'm often asked, can you choose one bottle of wine that will match with everything the entire table is having? I usually respond with, maybe not perfectly, but I'll do my best. I'd ask diners first whether they'd allow me to pair their meals individually with different glasses of wine, as that's the best option to optimize each combination. But if not, I ask probing questions to learn which dishes they're having, their likes and their dislikes, their budget, and most importantly, their level of trust in me to make this choice for them. I often choose high-acid, subtle wines that won't overpower the food, such as steely Rieslings or rich champagnes that you can drink with the whole meal. For reds, Cru Beaujolais, Cabernet Franc, or a soft Pinot Noir are all good bets. But in the end, if they want a full-bodied Shiraz, Riesling ain't gonna cut it. One of the most difficult food and wine matches I've made is pairing a dry Oloroso Sherry, the fortified wine from Spain, with foie gras. I don't default to a dessert wine for foie gras, as some sommeliers do. The diners and I were a little reluctant the first time I tried this, but the combination really worked. The sherry has a wonderfully paradoxical power and elegance. Its rich mid-palate stood up to the richness of the foie gras, and its vibrant acidity cut through the fat. The nutty aromas in the sherry are also lifted and highlighted, the hazelnuts in the dish, and combined with the mushrooms to make it a truly memorable pairing. And finally, I talked to sommelier David Coyle from the Metropolitan Grill in Seattle. I asked him which wines are best for grilled foods. He says some of the best wines for grilled foods are produced in Washington. Many of the state's Syrahs, a robust red wine, have beautiful, dark, rich, smoky flavors that complement meats grilled over mesquite or charcoal. Syrahs, he says, don't have harsh tannins, so they don't clash with the charcoal and grilled flavors. One of his favorites is the Sequel Syrah from Long Shadow Vintners in Washington's Walla Walla Valley. He also likes Stag Leap's Petite Syrah from Napa. For whites, Napa Valley Sauvignon Blanc, such as the one made by Spotswode Winery, and Alsatian Riesling from Zinde Hombrec are both great with grilled food because of their crisp acidity and rich flavors that tone down a spicy grilled dish. For fish entrees, he usually chooses a Sauvignon Blanc or a blended white such as Pine Ridge Chenin Blanc and Viognier from Clarksburg, California, or Chaleur Estates blended white from Washington. Two friendly reds for seafood are Oregon Pinots from Christom Mont Jefferson and J. Christopher. He especially likes Pinot Noir with its bright berry flavors paired with the meatiness and the texture of salmon. He says, I had my most memorable red wine and food match with my wife as we were dining on the back deck of our house one summer evening. I barbecued a hamburger with melted chunks of blue cheese and drank a bottle of Lewis Vineyard Syrah from Washington. The winemaker, Mike Januick, also made all of the red wines at Chateau St. Michel for 10 years and is a top-notch craftsman. His Syrah with that blue cheese hamburger was a match made in heaven. My best white wine and food matching experience, he says, took place while I was at my best friend's beach house on the Oregon coast. He cooked up an aromatic bouillabaisse with lots of chunks of fresh crab and shellfish and served it with a dry rosé from Etude in Napa Valley. The wine was sublime, and the soft flavors of strawberries and watermelon, followed by its bright acidity, enhanced the saffron and spices in the dish. We ate that meal as we watched the pounding surf, with our closest friends around the table and our kids playing on the sand. My fondest memories about wine are not just about the bottle, but where we were and who we were with when we drank it. Amen, David. Well, that's it for this week. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let others know about them. There's more info in my book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over, and the newsletter at nataliemaclean.com. Tune in next month for another exciting episode. In the meantime, drink up. Cheers, Natalie. This podcast and its content are copyright Natalie McLean, 2007.